This is Midwest Moxie, a show about our region's visionary entrepreneurs and the experiences that shape them. I'm your host, Kathleen Gallagher, Executive Director of Five Lakes Institute. Tyree Burks was a wide receiver at Winona State University, then in Europe and the Canadian Football League until his hamstring separated from his tibia. That crushed Ty's dream of becoming a big-name athlete, but led him to a mission of making sports better and safer for youth. Ty's mission took shape in the form of Players Health, a Minneapolis startup that provides digital risk management services and insurance products to sports organizations. Founded in 2016, Players Health now supports more than 50,000 sports organizations and has raised more than $40 million of investment funding. Ty, welcome to Midwest Moxie.
Kathleen, really appreciate you having me. Thanks a lot. I'm excited.
You say sports saved your life. How?
Yeah, I think it truly did. When I look back at my over my career, I grew up in the South Side of Chicago. You either did two things where I grew up. You either played sports, found some activity, or you were in the streets. And so when I think about where I grew up and finding safety and finding a safe place for me to develop as a kid, I chose sports. I could have easily chose that other path. And if I had chose that other path, I don't think I'd be alive today. Either I'd be dead or in jail, one or the other. And so I truly believe that because I found sports and I found a safe place to develop, you know, I'm here today.
It's interesting that you found sports, which made you safer, and now you're trying to make sports even safer.
Yeah, I think when I look at the transaction between kids and sports, and I this is something I had developed because I think about deposits, like things as parents, we want to deposit good things into our kids, things like confidence and the ability to problem solve, team building. These are all things that sports gives to kids. I also recognize that depending on the experience and the time, there could be moments where kids get things taken away from them, withdrawals that come from them, things like their confidence, things like their motivation. And depending on the trauma and the year of or the age of these kids, they may not ever get that confidence back. I've seen times and incidents where, you know, incidents have taken those things away from kids. And I think what we're trying to do at Players Health is to minimize the likelihood that that ever happens.
One of the inspirational things about what you're doing is that you've leveraged your experience as a player and your desire to make sports safer and better for youth to build this business career. You didn't have immediate success, though. Tell us about your first startup, Team Interval.
Oh, yeah. It was, call it trial by fire, for sure. But I literally left the football field and started this business. My sports agent was my first investor. And my first 6 months into the business, I had this whole documentation around what my app would be. And Team Interval was really simple. We wanted to create a communication platform for sports organizations to manage all where you show up for games, you know, who's bringing the juice boxes, things like that. It would house all your playbooks and everything else. And then we also had injury management or injury documentation in this. But the idea that Team Interval was that initial idea. I think there were a couple of things that I had going against me fresh out. Number one, I didn't know anything about running a business. I had not gone to MBA school. I had not understood how to build a development or develop an application. These were all things that I was fresh going into. And probably within the first 6 months, I had a development firm offer me a quote for me to build out my MVP, my minimum viable product. That MVP was about 70K. Well, I sign it, we start the project, and you know, you can tell where this is probably going. About, you know, 4 or 5 weeks after we start the project, they go, "Well, Ty, you know, we misquoted this opportunity. You know, we really didn't understand exactly everything that was going on," and they doubled the quote. Of course, I end up paying, not knowing, and I never got to a finished product. I end up having to go to another provider to help me finish my MVP and go to market. But that was my first 6 months into starting my company. And it was my first $140,000 of investment that was half of mine. Another half was my first investor. And so I think navigating those waters in the beginning was really tough. But ultimately, Team Interval led me to create Players Health. So I value all of the lessons that I learned, all the mistakes that I made. I see them all as blessings today, for sure.
You had a long list of things that were stacked up against you. What did you have going for
honestly,
you?
I had passion. Honestly, I understood my audience. I understood my customers. I was my customer. And I had a huge network of individuals that that were customers of mine that allowed me to get in front of them to better understand exactly what I would build. So I had a network. I had a ton of passion for what I did, and I was resilient. Those were some of the positives that I had. I think another positive that I had is that being an athlete, it wasn't hard for me to get into rooms that normal folks wouldn't normally get into. So fundraising wasn't as big of a challenge for me in the early days as it had been for my other counterparts. And it was because a lot of people wanted to be around athletes, professional athletes. They love my story. And so those were all the really good things that I had going for me. And I use those to help me continue to grow and scale my business.
So you took that app that you developed with your first startup, Team Interval, and took the injury part out of it. And you built Players Health based on, you tell me, helping youth sports organizers track injuries?
Yeah, and I think that was the original idea. Team Interval was, I was struggling. I was about 3 years into building out the application and struggling to generate revenue. We had a few universities and a few high schools using it. But there was this injury management component that was being organically used. And then I started thinking about my own personal experience. So I was a Chicago public school student. We didn't have athletic trainers when I grew up. And so when I think about how all of my injuries were managed when I was younger, like shoulda, coulda, woulda, if they would have been managed better, maybe those serious injuries that I had later in my career don't happen. And that was the original idea. It was basically, if we had a system that documented incidents and that followed a specific return to play protocol to help these athletes return back to play properly, the likelihood of them having catastrophic injuries like I did are a lot less likely. And so I presented that idea at a pitch competition and won it. It was in Madison, actually. And that Monday, I shut down Team Interval and started Players Health.
The king of pivot, huh?
Right, exactly. And I've probably pivoted hundreds of times since then.
So you started Players Health, and you initially started with trainers at high schools. They were interested in your product because they could track concussions and other injuries and do the protocols. But then you started realizing that that wasn't going to be a great revenue source if you really wanted to grow big, right?
Yeah, and it started with the mission. Like, our mission has been the exact same mission from day one. We want to create the safest environment possible for an athlete to play the sport that they love. That has driven everything that we have done. And so in the very beginning, yeah, it was just injuries. We saw that there was a need to properly manage injuries. And concussion was the trend at that time, where the new concussion movie, all the lawsuits, Pop Warner, NFL, NHL, all the professional organizations were seeing big issues around how they manage this. And so it was definitely of the time, but we realized that in order for us to fulfill our mission, we have to be a lot more than just injuries. That to create the safest environment, abuse prevention was another big topic and a big issue that organizations were needing support and helping to manage. And so we continued to kind of build out our risk management capability. So we went from just being injury management to being more risk management, and risk being injuries, compliance, governance, abuse prevention, coach credentialing, all of those things became the more broader part around what we did.
And as you built that all out, you started realizing we've got all this data that we could do something with, right?
Exactly. And I think very few organizations have the kind of data that we have because it's on a demographic that has been overlooked for some time. It was on youth. And it's extremely hard to gather massive amounts of data in youth because it's such an unstructured, I wouldn't call it the Wild Wild West, but I'd say the messiness of youth sports is really kind of the fluidity of it. You know, you show up, you got a U12 baseball team, you show up with a coach, some bats and some balls, and you all go out and play. And that happens for over 60 million athletes across the United States. And there are over 3 million injuries that happen every year on youth athletes. And we have very little information around what is causing those injuries and how can we impact outcomes. We have been able to do that for hundreds of thousands of athletes, thousands of organizations now up until this point. So we actually today, Players Health, we have the largest injury database in youth sports because we focused on mission. And then, of course, we focused on power users like athletic trainers that have to document incidents as they provide care for athletes.
Yeah, I love the way we're doing this dance where I keep trying to do a business question and you keep bringing it back to mission, which I believe. I mean, this was one of your advantages, that mission drove your company, right? But you had all this data. You started licensing it to insurance companies, right?
I did. And I think that's really where I started to realize how big this business could actually be. My goal for Players Health was like a 25, 50, 100 million. Like, that's home run. But I realized that we actually had a differentiation in our data that supported a larger balance sheet. Our customer up until this point were sports organizations. And then I realized that there are stakeholders within youth sports, insurance companies that have deeper pockets that actually would value the information we have a lot more than just the sports organization. And so my pitch to an insurance company was really simple. We collect all of this information on how organizations are managing their risk. When you see these claims happen, wouldn't you like to know what happened before they actually became a claim, so that you can actually act on them, help prevent them from actually becoming a claim? That was my pitch. And it allowed them to better understand how they price their risk, how they're going to segment who's a good organization, who's a bad organization. And then they started to give us a percentage of the premium. And so this is for the first time in the history of our company at that time when we started to generate six figures in revenue at that point for us. And it really made me think about the business in a dramatically different way.
But then you realized we're giving this to, we're selling this to the insurance companies, and they're using it to really do what's at the core of their business. Why aren't we doing it?
Yeah, and I think a big motivation around us thinking about doing it ourselves was because we realized that no one was going to do this in the way that we would do it. Because we care, we're going to do things that organizations won't do. And so right now, most of our competitors just sell insurance. Here's a policy, and we hope you don't have claims. And if you do, your rate's going to increase next year. Our business model is that instead of us charging organizations for our athlete safety services, we're going to provide them as a part of their total cost of insurance. And then we're going to incentivize our organizations to do the right thing through cost savings, through keeping their insurance coverage, giving them more access to insurance coverage. And so these are things that we were focused around mission that helped drive a bigger business model for us. So we decided to set up our own brokerage. And in sports organizations viewed us as a different broker. We weren't just trying to sell insurance. In order for you to get an insurance policy from us, there are a set of guidelines you need to follow. You need to be on mission with us if you want to get a policy from us. And that won't cost you a dime. It's time and it's effort. Something that a lot of these administrators don't have a ton of. But we're right there to help these organizations do the right thing. And the more they do that, the more affordable their largest expense, which is their insurance, is going to be. And so it started to take off. We did a million in our first year. And then we decided we needed more control over our product. So we decided to set up our own MGA, which is like a quasi-carrier, basically. And we raised $500 million of insurance capacity to now become our own market. So now we control pricing. Now we control underwriting. Now we can actively incentivize our organizations in the way that we would do it versus just here's a policy and just don't have claims. If these organizations are doing all of the right guidelines that we have, we're going to make more money ultimately because they're going to have less claims. And there is no one in the market that looks like we do.
You can read more about today's guest by visiting WUWM.com. Don't forget, you can also listen to the show as a podcast if you'd like to take us on the go. Just search for Midwest Moxie wherever you listen to your podcasts. I'm your host, Kathleen Gallagher. We're going to take a quick break, then we'll be back with more Midwest Moxie. This is Kathleen Gallagher, host of Midwest Moxie. We're back with Ty Burks, founder of Players Health, a Minneapolis startup that provides digital risk management services and insurance products to sports organizations. Would you rather be playing football or running a company?
It all depends on the day. But seriously, no, I love what I do. I get to see me make a broader impact on millions of kids' lives on a day-to-day basis. And so I just love that I get to be on mission and live in my purpose. As a professional athlete, I think one thing I loved about it was that I was going for my dreams. And it took me places that I never thought I would go. Similar to this company, it's taken me all over the world, impacting and supporting so many different types of organizations and people. And so I love what I do. If I could do this for the rest of my life, work at this company and build this dream, I'd love to do that.
What about parent feedback? You know, what's been the reaction of parents as you've evolved this company?
That's a really good question. So when a lot of parents find out, they find out through the organization. So when you think about it, the parent is a byproduct of our relationship with our customer, the sports organization. So we only sell at the org level. When they find out that this organization has signed up for Players Health, they realize that that organization has now a new commitment to the health and safety of their kid. I think the response has been extremely positive. They see that we are coming in to help bridge the gap that a lot of these organizations have had, specifically around abuse prevention. Like, that's where a lot of parents really learn more about us, is because this preseason communication that goes out, that the organization has implemented Players Health, and this is what Players Health is. If you have any incidents, this is where you go to report, and here's the process. That most of the time is the first time that parent has ever seen that kind of communication and that process clearly laid out around how they have a voice and how their kids have a voice around anything inappropriately happening. So the response has been positive. And I think we're constantly getting more and more ideas around how we can make an impact. One of our newest policies, good, bad, or indifferent, has been around active shooter. So we just launched our active shooter and sport policy. It breaks my heart to say that we have to think about these things, but we do. And we need to prepare our organizations to be on mission and create a safer environment for these athletes. And unfortunately, active shooter is something that we as schools and sports organizations have to focus on and have to worry about. That's another way that parents are seeing that we're stepping in and filling the gap to support them.
Your company is probably one of the few mission-driven sports companies that you see in the marketplace. Talk about that a little.
Well, I wouldn't say that we're probably the only ones. I think we're the ones that are operating from the highest level of integrity, specifically around how it comes out in our bottom line. Like, everyone communicates, and in their marketing messaging and everything, is that we're all in it for the kids. And I feel like if we're going to operate from a level of integrity, then we need to be transparent around how we're actively doing that. Like, what are we doing to make sure that that is true? And so when we look at things like background checks, like our whole business model, we could be charging money for background checks. We could charge for our abuse awareness training, because all of our competitors are. We're the only ones in the market that don't make any money on those things. And that's because it comes back to our mission. I've decided, and my goal when I first started Players Health was to give away our platform. I was going to offer it for free, and we were going to figure out a way to monetize it. What we've been able to do with Players Health is that the insurance is the funding mechanism for us to give away the athlete safety services. And so these organizations were already buying insurance. I didn't go and try to force them to find another pot of money from a different bucket. They already were paying for insurance. And I'm not trying to increase their insurance premiums. I'm actually trying to drive them down. And I think with that, we're showing how we're actively thinking about the kids, because all of those insurance costs go straight to the parent. It's a pass down fee that those parents are paying for. So when I think about other companies that are out here, yes, we all are in it for the kids, but how have we structured our business model that actually supports safety increasing accessibility and participation in sport? Like, what are things can we point to and how we make money that's actually supporting the broader development and growth of youth sports?
But when you give away those services like background checks, and when you try and keep your premiums low, doesn't that mean your profit margins aren't as good as other insurance companies?
Well, so that is a really good point. That is correct. But insurance companies make money in two ways. I can make money from my direct distribution and selling insurance, but I also make money when I don't have claims. So managing the loss ratio, it's called my loss performance that I need to manage. And as an insurance company, you really only make money when you pay less in claims than you do and when you collect in premium. Our whole business model supports us making more money. So the more on mission we can be in helping these organizations manage the risk, do the right things, the less claims they're going to have, the more money we make.
Because you've got more information about where the claims might happen. So do you require that they follow certain procedures to be insured by you?
Absolutely. So when an organization buys a policy from us, they have to go through a risk assessment. That assessment gives them a score. And then there's a whole set of recommendations that we provide that don't cost them anything. We have a whole athlete safety team that's there helping them implement all of those services and infrastructure, services, technology. And I'll give you, just bring it full circle. The average loss ratio in our space is about sub 90 to 90% of loss ratio. Our loss ratio is sub 5% right now.
What is it a ratio of? Explain loss ratio.
Oh, so think about a dollar of premium. So if I have a dollar of premium and I pay 90% of that premium, 90 cents of that is going to claims, then I make 10 cents. In our model, we make more money because we're paying less claims. So a loss ratio is really just looking at a dollar of premium. And if I collect a dollar and I pay out 90 in claims and expenses, then I got a 90% combined loss ratio.
And your
average market is operating on that 10% margin. We have way more margin today because we're managing the risk a lot better, and our loss performance is a lot better than the rest of our competitors at this point.
Still got to be hard to stick with your mission. You must have investors who bug you about it and competitors.
Yeah, it's extremely difficult. And I think it's early days. So our loss performance is sub 5% today. We write what is called long tail risk. So someone can come and sue an organization 10 years from now, and that could impact our loss performance. But I think the only one of the things that I come back to is why I started the company. And when it got tough, when it got really tough, when I was struggling to generate revenue, when I couldn't get an investor, what kept me going? It was the mission. It was what I want youth sports to look like. You know, and it's extremely personal for me because when I say sports saved my life, like I'm that's not a over exaggeration. Like, I'm not here as the man I am had I not played sports. And so I think it's extremely important for me. Everyone that has invested in me, this is who I am. This is what I'm about. And so I think that has been clear. I'm consistent. And I have to think about the economics of the business, but I'm so motivated to make sure that both of those work. And very few founders, I think, at this point, when I'm trying, it's either one or the other. And I believe you can do both if you work really hard at it and you stay disciplined. And I think that's what we're trying to do here.
So what advice have you got for parents whose kids are in youth sports? How would you think about their participation and what you should be looking for?
Oh, that's a really good question. I'll just speak for myself personally in terms of how I'm viewing it. And then I think this could help a ton of parents. One, let these kids play. My son is 16. He's an extremely competitive basketball player. He's ranked in a state. He wants to play college ball. He wants to go to Division I. All I care about as a parent is that he's having fun and that he believes in himself. That it is really that simple. Let's support our kids through their sport development. Let's not care about how they performed. As long as they're learning, as long as they're making mistakes and bouncing back up and growing, that's all we should really care about. That's what sports is there for. If they want to take it beyond that, it's on them. And then specifically around everything else we do from a safety perspective, I think every parent needs to educate themselves. On our website, we have our active shooter and sport policy. We have our grooming policy. We have so much education around what we need to look out for. And times have changed. And I think we have to be a lot more diligent around holding our organizations accountable for who we allow our kids to be around in the environments that they come into. So I think those are going to be, those would be the two things that I would really look at. Educate themselves around athlete safety and the responsibility of the organization, and allow their kids to just play and develop. We should only care about them growing and developing through sport. And that's going to help them become the successful person we ultimately want them to be anyway.
And what kind of advice have you got for entrepreneurs, particularly athletes, who want to start companies?
Yeah. Specifically around athletes is that don't feel like you have to know everything. You're going to make mistakes. Embrace them. And I don't take any lesson that I've learned or mistake that I've made for granted. Every mistake that I've made led me to the next step. And the way that I would view being an entrepreneur are these three simple tasks. I woke up every day for the past 10 years, and this is all I have done. I set intention. So I know exactly what is my aim. Where do I want to go? Set intention for your life. Set intention for your company. Consistent action. There is no plan B. Only focus on that intention. And you got to believe in yourself. And that's not just being an entrepreneur. That's just in life. Set intention, consistent action, and believe in yourself. And whatever you set out to do, you'll be successful.
It's an amazing trajectory, and what a role model you are for any athlete who aspires to a business career. Thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Really appreciate the time. Thank you, Kathleen.
You can read more about today's guest by visiting WUWM.com. Don't forget, you can also listen to the show as a podcast if you'd like to take us on the go. Just search for Midwest Moxie wherever you listen to your podcasts. I'm your host, Kathleen Gallagher. Midwest Moxie was created by executive producer Audrey Nowakowski and me. Today's episode was produced by Audrey Nowakowski. Join us next Sunday at 7 p.m. to hear from more visionary Midwestern founders building innovative companies. That's right here on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR.